Try to share some things from the Word of God with you, and I want you to pay particular attention to the simplicity of these verses as we read them. And if you're out there listening today, listen to the latter part of what's read in this 15th verse. It's in John chapter 3, verse 16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Now you hear that latter part of that verse, it says might be saved. Brother Tommy, would you turn that fan off and then turn this light back on over here on this side, please? But I want you to pay attention to that latter part. It said might be saved. You know, when I grew up, we talked a lot about getting saved. You talk about, you know, so-and-so got saved at church this Sunday, and people would get excited, and people would clap, and people would worship. Now when you're out in the world and you make a comment about being saved, people look at you and they wonder what you're even talking about. Even say something like this, "Get saved from what?" Well, I want to flip over to Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 12 and read just a couple of verses. It says this, it says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude or likeness of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that is to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many." Now here's what I want to share with you this morning, the first thing. Why do you need Jesus? Number one, you need Jesus because you need forgiveness of sins. You know, we're living in a world today where people don't believe they're sinners. You know, in order to get forgiveness, you must first recognize your sin, or you must recognize that you are a sinner. And we're living in a time where more and more people don't want to hear that, they don't want to see that, they don't want to accept that. But I began to think about it, and I looked it up even in the American Heritage Dictionary, what the Bible says. What is sin? Sin is a condition of estrangement from God as a result of breaking his law. Now, we can think about that, but I want you to look at it even a little simpler and break it down. What is sin? Sin is doing wrong. It's doing wrong. The Bible says in one place, "To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin." You know, we're living in a world today where we look around us and we see it more and more prevalent that there is something that has to do with a moral and spiritual decline in our country. You know, even when we start talking about what's acceptable, and we've got this term out today, the new normal. Every time I hear that word, I cringe. Every time I hear that statement, I cringe. Every time I hear it about our society and what's going on right now, I cringe. Every time I see what's going on in the world and they talk about, well, this is the new normal, I cringe. Because normally what they are talking about is they're saying that things that are going on today that are wrong are the way that it's going to be, and it's acceptable. But I want to tell you something this morning. God's word's not changed. And if the Bible says that it's sin, and the Bible says that it's wrong, it's wrong. It's not my decision. It's not up to me. Sometimes people say, well, you know, what position do you take, or what gives you the right to say anything? I don't have any right to say anything. But as a man that's called by God to preach the Word of God, if I want to preach anything, I have to preach what's written in the Word of God. And if you and I are going to look at our lives and recognize where we stand, we must measure ourselves against the Word of God. There is nothing else. For a person to be saved, they must recognize that they are a sinner. Recognize the issue of moral and spiritual decline. You know, we're living in a world today that's different than the world that we, some of us, maybe grew up in when we were younger. I can remember sometimes having conversations with my dad, and I miss my dad, and I miss the man that he was. And we would sit down and we would talk about how even people who did not go to the house of God or claim to be Christians had a certain amount of respect for the things of God and of the house of God. We're living in times today where there has been in this county a crime spree going through where they're breaking into churches, stealing from churches, and you know, it shows you the level of decline that we're in. Even the things that are going on, folks, we ought to stand up for what we believe in. But if we use it for an excuse to destroy and to tear down our own neighborhoods, we're not doing the right thing. It's absolute decline. You know, an acceptance of what's wrong and calling it normal. In the 5th chapter of Isaiah, it says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, and bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." You know, doing wrong, a lack of conviction, a lack of conscience. Sometimes when I see the things that are going on, and you know, people say as men, sometimes we're quick to say, "I'm not afraid of anything." Let me tell you some things that I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of people who have no convictions showing up where my children are and me not being there. I'm afraid of people who have no value for life walking up and looking at you and for a $20 bill can take your life. Just because they disagree with you, you don't say what they want you to say. They say you're disrespecting them and they so disvalue life that they could kill you and go home and go to sleep at night. Folks, that makes me afraid. A lack of conscience. The Bible talks about having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And then this one, a lack of shame. Whatever happened to shame? You know, folks, and y'all know this, and we know this as Christians, we're not saved by our works. We're not perfect. We have issues, every one of us. We have vices. We have to pray. And somebody said something about taking your temperature a little bit ago, and then they mentioned the temper. You know, that's something that most every person has at some point. We've all lost our temper. We've all had to say, "I'm sorry." We've all had to repent before the Lord. But here's the thing. There's an amount of shame. There's a conscience that speaks to us that lets us know that we're wrong. And even a Christian can do wrong. But when you do wrong, because of the conviction of the Holy Spirit, God speaks to your heart. How many times have we said, "I wish I hadn't ever said that. I wish I could change that. I wish I could go back and erase that from the history of my life." Thank God for that conscience. Thank God for that conviction. Thank God for that attachment that there is shame associated with certain things. But we're living in a time today where there's a lack of shame. You see, people need Jesus because they need forgiveness from sin. Well, why do you need forgiveness from sin? Because you need forgiveness from the penalty of sin. You see, we grew up using the term "get saved" because people were getting saved from the penalty of sin. The penalty of sin is death. The Bible says that sin brings forth death. But you see, Jesus Christ, the reason we need to get saved, the reason those two verses are linked together, John 3:16 and 3:17, is because Jesus paid the penalty for our sin so that we might be saved. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You know, sometimes what we do is we look around and we see the evil and we see the wrong, and we can, in ourselves, what we can do is we can judge, we can look at people, and we can even say things like, "Well, they got what they deserved," or "They ought to get this," or "They ought to get that." Now, folks, I want to tell you something. Christ died for us while we were sinners. He didn't look at us and see us, well, they're good people. They're at church this morning. They've come and they're trying to do what's right. Jesus Christ died on the cross for people who are in their wickedest, worst state so that they might have an opportunity to have life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, "For he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin." Now, talking about Jesus. Bible says that we have not a great high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. I'm going to go back to this verse, but I want to tell you something. Jesus knew no sin. He lived on this earth a sinless life, and he paid the price for you and I so that we might have life. He who knew no sin became sin for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see, he paid the penalty for my sin so that I might be able to be forgiven. You see, with all this good news, and this is good news this morning, why are people not getting saved as often today? It's because they don't think that they need to. They don't think they need to be saved. Is it because they just simply don't believe in God? They reject God? I've even heard some say, well, if I go to hell, all of my friends will be there. You see, they say, I'm okay, you're okay, everybody's okay. But unfortunately, that's just not a true statement. Romans 3:23 says this, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." I sat down this week and I began to think about this, and I thought, I wrote some notes. Who needs forgiveness? Sinners need forgiveness. But can I tell you, the righteous also need forgiveness? Because the Bible tells us that you and I, the problem we have is we ever begin to think that we're righteous, the Bible says that all of our righteousness is as, not that it is filthy rags, but it is as filthy rags. What does that mean? That means that if I try in myself to clean myself up and stand before God, the very best that I could do, it's not enough. Because I can't do enough. I can't be enough. That's why Jesus went and paid the price for my sin so that I can have life. That's why I need to be saved. In 1 John chapter 1, I want to look at verse number 8 through verse number 10. It says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Now, church, and those of you that are here this morning, I know you're here because you want to be here, and God loves you, and I love you. But we've received forgiveness of sins. You know, there's probably somebody listening this morning. You need Jesus, and you need forgiveness of sins. Well, why? Why would I want to be saved? Why would I want to be forgiven? There's a couple of reasons. I want to give you those. One, and I think this is very important. It's important for you and I. It's important for the whole world. Number two, the reason you need Jesus is you need to be serving God. You know, the truth is, that's why we were put on this earth. That's why we're here. It's why you're created by God in the first place. And you say, well, you know, I'm not called to be a preacher. I'm not called to be a missionary. Well, maybe you're called to be a plumber. Maybe you're called to be a painter. Maybe you're called to be a school teacher or a nurse. Do you know that it doesn't matter what you do? The Bible says all that you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord. I can remember when I was growing up, I'm going to have to get rid of my tie. I can remember when I was growing up and I worked with my dad. And I started working with him, I guess I was about 14. And he started me out at 50 cents an hour. And you can say, that's child labor, cruelty. I can remember him teaching me to work. I would putty and I would sand, and then he started letting me paint a little bit. And then he gave me $1 an hour, and then he gave me $2 an hour. And it was just a little bit of work during the summer. But I remember the things that my dad taught me, and I can remember him teaching me. He said, son, it don't matter if you're making 50 cents an hour or $50 an hour. You give a man an honest day's work. And I was standing there, and we were working, and we used to take breaks, and my dad would sit around, and he would drink hot coffee in 98-degree weather, just like I do now. And he would eat those Choco Gel Little Debbie cakes. And every time we sat there, you know what he was doing, Brother Billy? He was teaching me. And he said, everything you do it heartily as unto the Lord. Can I tell you the reason you are on this earth is to serve God? And I don't care what your job is as a Christian. If you know what your position is before the Lord, you ought to try to be the absolute best one where you work. Why do we need to be serving God? Why are we here? Because God wanted children. God wants you. Sometimes people say, well, what does God want from me? Some people say, well, they're down there doing it again. God just wants your money. No, God doesn't. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. God wants me to do this. God wants me to do that. I tell you what he wants. He wants you. My children are my children. And I just want them. Now, obviously, I want them to have a good life. I want them to make good decisions. But they're my children. And the reason you need to be serving God, whether you recognize him or not or acknowledge him or not, I want you to understand something. You wouldn't be on this earth if he hadn't created man in his own image. You didn't get here of your own accord and you didn't evolve. And when you're not serving the Lord, you're missing your whole purpose for being here. You see, God told Adam to be fruitful and multiply the earth. So many people are missing it. You say, well, I'm not going to live for the Lord. Well, what are you living for? What are you living for? You think about it. Yes, somebody that's in high school. You say, well, what are you living for? What's your life about? Well, I'm going to graduate from high school. I'm going to have some fun. I'm going to go to football games. I'm going to go on dates. And I'm going to go to spring break, and I'm going to do this. Well, what next? What then? Well, I'm going to go to college, and I'm going to get me a good degree, and you know, I'm going to have some more fun. Well, what then? Well, I'm going to get me a good job. I'm going to make some good money. I can remember one time a young lady told me, she said, I just can't wait till I can get out and buy me a condo and an Escalade. I said, you tell me how you do that. What then? What then? What after you get that job and you're out and you're making that money and you got that home that you always dreamed of and you got that Escalade? Well, I'm going to get promoted. And I'm going to be in charge. Well, what then? Well, I guess one day I'm going to retire and I'm going to travel the world. I'm going to do all the things that I want to do and I'm going to have everything that I want to have. What then? What then? You see, so many people have got to that point. They've got up in their 50s and their 60s, and they thought, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that, and all of a sudden life's over. I can remember growing up, a very good friend of mine, young lady that was like a sister to me, got married, nice home, gone at a very young age. The funerals that I've done since I've been at this church have been of every age bracket. What then? What you hear in the world today, and you see it in the bumper stickers, is he who dies with the most toys wins. That's a lie. I got a lot of toys now, but they don't fill the void in my heart when I can't be in the presence of God. You see, He who dies with the most toys wins. That statement is a lie. The statement, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, it's a lie. You see, you can't take anything with you when you die. Your purpose, your privilege, your priority on this earth is simply this: to serve God. And folks, God doesn't care if you have those things. God doesn't care how many houses you have, how many boats you have, how many jet skis, how many sets of golf clubs, how many motorcycles, four-wheelers, how much Pampered Chef you have, how many pocketbooks you have. Y'all thought I was going to leave you out, didn't you, ladies? How many pairs of shoes you have. You know what God cares about? It's whether or not he has a relationship with you. Because that's what God wants. God wants a relationship with you. You say, well, why do I need Jesus? Well, you need forgiveness of sins, and you need to be serving God with your life. But let me tell you something else. What then? You need to go to heaven. That's why you need Jesus. You know, I pay attention to when I see some of the stars, and I could name names. I'm not going to do that. The stars of the 70s and 80s, and most of them that I'm thinking of are country music singers. As they get up in their 70s and 80s in life, you know what you see happening is they really start to get tight back to their roots. They start talking about God. They start putting albums out about God. They start returning to the roots that they came from. See, a lot of those singers in the 70s and 80s, especially in the 60s that were popular, they started off singing in church. And their voice was so good and they were so talented, somebody discovered them. And for a period of time, they went off and they did other things. Let me tell you something. Not all of that is bad. God gets glory from a lot of things that people don't really acknowledge. But you know what it causes them to do? It causes them to think about, what then? What then? What after I've made millions? What after I've lived my life? We know that we're not going to live forever. What then? You start seeing them return and draw up close to God. And we ought to do that today. You see, Mark chapter 8 and verse number 36 says this: for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? There's nothing wrong with having the things of this world. Here's the thing for every person: God needs to be first. But I want you to understand something about heaven. And I'm almost done. Not everybody's going to heaven. And this is an important word and it's an important statement. Sometimes people say, well, I just don't believe it. I've heard people say, you try to witness to them and they say, I'm okay. I know one person every time we talk to him, I'm okay. Are you really okay? I've even had some say this: I'll just take my chances. I'm not going to take my chances. I need God. Question, are you willing to gamble on eternity? Some even say things like this, and I mentioned it earlier. I don't want to go to heaven. There's nothing there for me. I don't like going to church. I don't like being around church people. I like doing this and this and this, and that's the way I'm going to live my life. As I was studying this, I thought about an old song. It says, if heaven ain't a lot like Dixie, I don't want to go. Now, these words in that song that I won't sing. Now, I have to admit, as a teenager and sometimes even now on solid gold country Saturday night, I'll go down the road and I might sing a lot of those songs. I know most of them. But some of the words in that song trouble me. See, Dixie is beautiful, but it does not compare to heaven. I love this part of the country. I love the trees. I love the seasons. But I believe what God has in store for us doesn't even compare to this. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9 and 10, says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." You see, I believe God wants to bless his children. And there's been times I've mentioned the verse, and I want to read it to you today to get it correct out of Psalms chapter 37 and verse number 4. It says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." You see, I believe heaven will be satisfied. I tell Kendra when we get to heaven, we're going to have a Cracker Barrel front porch. I'm going to sit on the front porch in a rocking chair, and I'm going to smell cornbread coming through the screen door. I'm going to have a coffee machine on the front porch and an acoustic guitar. It's going to be 55 degrees, and I'm going to sit there and pick and sing songs. And she says, "No, we're going to have our feet in the sand. It's going to be about 89. That's my wife. I know God sent her to me, and I know we're both going to heaven. I don't know how God's going to do it, but I believe God's going to satisfy both of us. You see, you need Jesus because you need to go to heaven. When you get to the end of your life, we need the understanding and assurance that this is not all there is. That like David said, I can't bring my son back, but I can go and be with him. I can't go up here on Scoggins Road and sit down and talk to my dad anymore, but I know he's in heaven, and I know I'm going to see him again. All the loved ones that we have that have gone on to be with the Lord, they're saved by the grace of God. I want to tell you something. It matters whether or not you're saved. It matters whether or not you serve God. You need Jesus because you need forgiveness of sins. You need to be serving God, and you need to go to heaven. Now, I'm going one day, but in the meantime, I'm going to do all that I do heartily as unto the Lord. And I want to ask you something, and we're going to have a song in just a minute. And I know most everybody in the service this morning, if not all, are saved, but there's somebody listening this morning that I know God's speaking to. If you were to die today, this is important. If you were to die today, where would you spend eternity? Are you ready? Are you prepared to go to heaven? That's important. Do you have loved ones, family members, maybe even just a grandmother, a grandfather, a parent that you believe is in heaven? And you say, "I'd love to see them again." You can. You can. But you need to make things right with God. He said he came so that you could be saved. Kendra's going to sing this song. And of course, if you'd like to come and pray, these altars are always open. If you'd like for somebody to pray with you, just tap them and ask them to do that. If you're out there listening this morning, I'm going to pray this sinner's prayer. And I want you to think about this. And if you want God in your life and you want to go to heaven, you want forgiveness, you can have it. Says, "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. Lord, I ask you to be Lord of my life and guide me to do your will so that I can fulfill your will in this life and live eternally with you forever in heaven. Amen." God spoke to your heart and you pray that prayer, God will hear you. God still wants to save and God loves you. And if she sings this song, if you'd like to pray, you're welcome to come.
Father has a plan, though it's hard to see it now. You feel you're walking all alone, but He is there, no doubt. When the storm around you rages and you're tossed to and fro, when you're faced with life's decisions and not sure which way to go, stand still and let God move. Standing still is hard to do. When you feel that you have reached the end, He'll make a way for you. Stand still.
Thank you so much for tuning in this morning. If you're out there listening live on Facebook, and thank you, church, for being here. God bless you. We'll be praying for you. Let's keep praying for our church. Pray for our future, that we'd be prepared and doing the things that God would have us to do. Love one another. I know it's been hard to reach out and even help one another. We have some people in our church that are in the hospital right now, and their family members can't even get in to see them. Let's remember Miss Jessie Long. And, you know, it's important that we lift one another up. Sometimes all we can do is a call or a text, but let's do that. Got a baby shower here. It's a drive-by baby shower that we're going to announce.
We're having to do things a little